السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله،
اللهم صل على محمد
وسلم الهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
A personal challenge that I face myself as a speaker, as someone who frequently speaks, is how to exercise vigilance in what I say, to make sure that the words that I utter, the phrases that I state, that they are positive, that they are beneficial, that they do not have a negative impact. And the simple reason for this is because we all know that words can have a huge positive or negative impact. There's a lot of potential in the things that we say, the words and the phrases that we utter. Our first Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he once was asked by a companion, he said, O Imam, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ مِمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ. Which of the creations of God is potentially the best creation? The best. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he replied, he said, Al-Kalam, speech. Then this companion asked, he said, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ wa أَيُّ شَيْءٍ مِمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ أَقْبَحُ. On the flip side, what is that creation which is potentially the worst? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he replied, he told him, Al-Kalam. And then he explained. He told him, because it is with speech, فَبِالْكَلَامِ بِيَضَّةِ الْوُجُوهِ وَبِالْكَلَامِ اسْوَدَّةِ الْوُجُوهِ. It is with speech, it is with words, that faces on the day of judgment, they are brightened, they are illuminated, and it is with speech on the day of judgment that faces are darkened. Power of words. They can either be positive or they can be negative. Words can either bring joy and happiness or they can cause despair. Words can either speak life or they can speak death. Words, they can either build up or they can completely destroy and cause destruction. You know, many of us, we are rightfully, we are quick to avoid murder, theft, lewd acts. But unfortunately, quite often, sometimes we engage in what? We engage in the assassination of people with our tongues, with the things that we say. Husbands, sometimes they stab their wives with their tongues. Wives, they lash out at their husbands with their words. Parents blast their children with their words. Children explode huge bombs on their parents and family members with their words. Sometimes we may not engage in major criminal acts, but frequently we destroy the lives of others. We destroy the society that we live in, and we destroy ourselves by what we say. And, you know, it only requires one word. There's a famous saying, right, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who made that phrase up, but I think he or she clearly got it wrong. Because words, they really have a huge impact. The words itself might not necessarily do damage, but rarely do words just come out by themselves. Usually they are accompanied with what? With certain actions. Either directly from the person who is uttering the words, then goes on to commit a specific act, or others who are influenced. And this can either be positive or negative, and it could be one word which can cause a huge amount of destruction, which can spark chaos and calamity. It's like, you know, the spark of a match, right? If you have a matchbox, you have a match, and you just spark it. It just requires a spark for it to ignite. And if you take this and you were to throw it onto, you know, some wood or some vegetation or something, it can cause a huge fire. I remember reading a report in the news about the number of wildfires in California. You know, of course, we're susceptible. Every year, we have thousands of wildfires. Sometimes we only hear about the major ones, the ones that destroy, you know, lots of land and property. But there are thousands of fires. And this report, it said that back in 2014, that at least 1,000 fires in California were started with what? With arson. On purpose. It was people who started these fires. It wasn't, you know, the drought, it wasn't the extreme heat. Yes, these factors, they contributed. But these fires, they began with someone lighting a match and tossing it somewhere, causing enormous devastation and chaos. And this is why, when we come to our teachings, we notice the hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Says, إذا أصبح ابن آدم فإن الأعضاء كلها تكفر اللسان. When the human being wakes up in the morning, his body, his entire body, his eyes, his ears, his heart, his entire body, they plead with what? They plead with the tongue. They tell the tongue, they say what? They say, اتق الله فينا, O tongue, be cautious, be mindful of Allah pertaining to us, the rest of the organs of the body. اتق الله فينا فإنما نحن بك. We are tied to you. Our fate is tied to you. It's in your hands, if you will. اتق الله فينا. اتق الله فينا فإنما نحن بك فإن استقمت استقمنا. If you are straight, if you're proper, then we will be proper. وإن اعوججت اعوججنا. But if you deviate and if you cause problems, then we in turn will deviate. And this is the truth. sort of like a steering wheel in a car. If you're driving, in addition, of course, to the acceleration and the braking, which causes us to move, one of the most important features of the car is what? Is the steering wheel. If you have to go straight and you end up turning left or turning right, or if you have to go right and you turn left, or if you have to go left and you turn right, what's going to happen? You're going to get into an accident. You're going to cause problems for yourself and for others. You're going to cause devastation. The tongue steers the rest of our bodies. It is because of the words, the thoughts first, and then the words that we choose, that our body in turn does what? Acts in a positive way or a negative. Our fifth Imam, Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, in regards to guarding one's tongue, being cautious with the words that we utter and the things that we say, he says in the hadith, إِنَّ هَذَا اللِّسَانَ مِفْتَاحُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ. This tongue that we all have, this little thing, which is not very little, some people, mashallah, this little thing is the key to what? It's the key to all goodness and all evil. مِفْتَاحُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ. And then he says, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَخْتِمَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ كَمَا يَخْتِمُ عَلَى ذَهَبِهِ وَفِضَّتِهِ. And thus, every righteous believer, every good person has to do what? They have to guard. They have to guard their tongue just like they would guard their gold and silver. You know, when you go to the bank and you open an account and they give you a debit card, or they send you, you know, your personal checks, they tell you to do what? They tell you to make sure not to share your PIN with anyone. Don't go out and hand your PIN to your ATM card to others. Why? Because then they'll have access to your money. They'll have access to your accounts. Or make sure that you protect your identity. Don't go out and share your, you know, personal information or confidential information, your social security or what have you. Why? Because then someone can come and take advantage of your identity. And identity theft is a big problem. A lot of people suffer from it. There are consequences to it. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says the same way that we are to guard with all of our lives, we guard our money, all the way down to the final penny, our gold and our silver, that we should be able to guard our tongues. Be cautious and vigilant in how we express ourselves and what we say. This is why our teachings emphasize on the significance of how to speak and what to speak. There's an emphasis. And what to avoid. What to say and what to avoid. When we come to the Qur'an in at least 13 verses, 13 different verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us and reminds us of how to speak and what to say. In at least 13 verses. And this is significant because there are some issues that are mentioned in the Qur'an that are not mentioned many times, very little. Right? When we come to some of the major acts of worship in the Qur'an, if we look at fasting, for instance, or if we look at Hajj, they're not mentioned very often. A couple of times, a few times. But when it comes to the way that we speak, what we say and what we should not say, and how we should go about saying things and how we should go about not saying things, then when it comes to the Qur'an, there are at least 13 verses. I just want to give you a few examples. One example is in chapter 33, verse 70. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah, have taqwa, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and say that which is accurate, that which is right, that which is correct. And this goes beyond just telling the truth. We know that telling the truth is important. But when we speak, we should speak with accuracy. We have to make sure that we verify that which we are about to say. Sometimes we hear something, we like it, it sounds good to us, and immediately we begin to disseminate this. We propagate this. right? Without verifying if it's accurate, if it's true, if it's correct or not. And this is a problem. This is a problem. Causes major issues. We have to make sure that that which we hear or that which we see or read, that we verify it's authentic, it's correct, before we go about telling others. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَلِيدًا. So number one, one example is of speaking accurately and correctly, in a right manner. Number two is in verse chapter number 2, verse 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And when you speak to people, speak in goodness, speak in positiveness, be positive, be good with people in the way that you speak to them. Say good things to them. Some people, they're very pessimistic, right? Everything for them is a calamity. Everything for them is a problem. Even the smallest things, they make them big, they make them huge, right? Someone might be dealing with an issue, it might not be a major issue, but you say, oh, tough luck. You're facing this issue, God help you. Allah is sad, right? The Quran says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Be positive when you speak to people. Try to encourage people. Look at the bright side. Look at goodness and try to encourage goodness when you speak. This is one example. The third example is from chapter 17, verse 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reference to parents, Allah says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. When you speak to them, first the verse says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Do not say uff to them, which is an expression of disapproval. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And say to them that which is what? That which is kind. Speak to them in kindness. And this is an important lesson for us, brothers and sisters. For young and old. Because usually when we talk about how we treat our parents, how we speak to our parents, usually the first thing that comes to mind is we're talking to children, teenagers, right? Because it's usually the children and the teenagers who have to be reminded. But this is not always the case. There are many times where individuals, they're adults, they have their own families, they have their own children, but they are still not able to speak to their parents in respect. They are still disrespectful in the way that they speak to their parents and the way they express themselves with their parents. Allah reminds us, He says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Be kind when you speak to them. Be gentle when you speak to them. And this is not just specific to parents, but all others. When speaking to people, let us be kind. And then Allah gives us another example. In chapter 20, verse 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. When He's speaking about Prophet Musa, Moses, and his brother Harun, Aaron, alayhim as-salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He begins their mission, their objective, He tells them, I want you to go to whom? To who? To Fir'aun. Who Allah says, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. He was a tyrant, he was a dictator. He caused so much chaos. There's a lot of condemnation on Pharaoh and his actions in the Quran. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa and Harun alayhi as-salam, when He sends them to Pharaoh, He says what? فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him gently, in leniency. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps if you do so, you speak to him in this way, then what? Then he'll be reminded. And he will change his ways. So even when it comes to speaking to enemies and speaking to those who are evil and immoral, the Quran says, speak in leniency. Don't be rough. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُ. The Quran is describing the Prophet. It says, because of the mercy of Allah, that you, Ya Rasulullah, were lenient and gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were stern and hard-hearted, then what would happen? They would have run away from you. You would have not been able to attract them and to teach them and to guide them. So this is some examples. But in addition to how to speak, the Quran even gives us reminders of our tone and our cadence, even when it comes to our tone. Allah gives us a few examples in the Quran. In chapter 17, 110, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْهَرُ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. Even when you pray, when you're praying, neither should you pray out loud where you're yelling and you're screaming, nor should you pray in a voice where basically you're mute, you're not saying anything. But in fact, choose a moderate tone. I have to learn this, right? Because many times when I'm speaking, I begin to speak in a very loud voice. This is a reminder for me. So, here the Qur'an even reminds us, even the tone. When you speak, speak in a moderate tone. Sometimes we notice someone, they want to pray, they're yelling off the top of their lungs. Why? There's no need to yell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to the human being than his jugular vein. Or to a point where, absolutely, you know, they're not speaking. The Qur'an says, what? The Qur'an says, even in your tone and your cadence, take a middle approach. In reference to, although this verse, the next verse, is in reference to the wives of the Prophet, in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says what, in reference to the wives of the Prophet? He says, وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And when you speak, speak appropriately. The reference is to the wives of the Prophet, but it's a lesson for everyone, for men and women, that even when we speak, our tone should be an appropriate tone. So as God forbid, not to mislead someone, because sometimes, depending, it's not necessarily what we say, but the way that we say it. Our tone, our cadence can give a very different, you know, expression. Can give a very different meaning depending on how we speak. Here the Qur'an reminds us that even in our tone, it should be appropriate. So these are some examples of how to speak. On the other end, the teachings, they emphasize on what not to say. The type of speech that we should avoid. The Qur'an in chapter 23, verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And those who avoid frivolous or inappropriate speech and talk. And there, the traditions, they give us a number of examples. What's inappropriate? What's frivolous? What type of speech should we avoid? There are a few examples. One is that which is vulgar and indecent. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, Sunnatul li'ami qubhul kalam. That the tradition of those who are evil is what? Is that they engage in indecent speech. When they speak with foul language. And this is a problem, brothers and sisters. It really is a problem. You know, I've mentioned this previously, but it's a good reminder. Sometimes, you know, we see this, you know, even with friends, when we come to the youth and others, with their good friends, I've heard some friends, when they speak to each other, they use foul language. They have very inappropriate nicknames for one another. And when you say why, say, well, we're friends. We're friends, we're good friends, you know. He's not going to get hurt, she's not going to get hurt, but this is problematic. They might not get hurt, but we have to be aware of the language that we're using. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the imams, the holy prophet, these individuals, they never used foul language. They never used foul language, neither with their friends nor with their enemies. So we have to make sure that we avoid using foul and indecent and vulgar language. This is one example. Another example is engaging in speech that does not concern us. You know, they say that most people, you know, you go to school, you choose a profession. It could be engineering, it could be the medical field, it could be whatever it may be, right? But many people, regardless of the field that they choose, they end up being three things. One is a philosopher, the second is a medical doctor, and the third is a religious scholar. Everyone has opinions. When we want to talk about philosophy, everyone speaks as if what, as if they're, you know, they are a scholar in philosophy. Or everyone has a medical opinion. Someone, you know, is sick in the family and everyone tells them, eat this, drink that, don't do this, don't do that. Or when it comes to even religious advice, oh, I know this hadith says so-and-so, we should do this or we should do that. Sometimes we engage in speech that doesn't necessarily concern us. We don't have knowledge of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, وَلَا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٍ. Do not engage in that or follow that which you have no knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. On the day of judgment will be held accountable. Allah will say, why did you say the thing that you said? Did you have evidence to back it up, or did you just feel like weighing in, you know, giving your opinion? So we have to make sure that we avoid engaging in speech that does not concern me. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, أكثر الناس ذنوبا, those who have, usually, who have the most, what, wrong deeds, or the most sins, are whom? أكثرهم كلاما فيما لا يعني. The one who engages the most in speech and discussion that does not concern him. Doesn't concern him. So he starts to make mistakes. He starts to make errors. Right? And as a result, he or she is held accountable. This is number two. And finally, the third example of that which we should avoid, the type of speech that we should avoid, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, طُوبَى, blessed is, طُوبَى لِمَنْ أَنْفَقَ الْفَضْلَ مِنْ مَالِهِ وَأَمْسَكَ الْفَضْلَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ. Blessed is the one who, when it comes to his excessive or extra money, he gives from it. When it comes to the excessive tongue, he abstains from it. Speaking too much, excessively. Going on and on and on. Giving too much information. When not necessary to speak, the person speaks. They continue to speak. This is problematic, right? We see this all the time, not just in our direct communication, but this is something that's prevalent now online, especially with social media. People who are just speaking and posting just for the sake of it. Telling you about every detail of their day, what they had for breakfast, what they did afterwards, how they're feeling right now, just for the sake of it, just so they can tell the people, just so that they can tweet something or post something. This is problematic. It's excessive. It's not necessary. Yes, social media is advantageous when we take advantage to communicate, to share things that are beneficial, relevant, so on and so forth. But there is a limit to the amount of information that we should be sharing. For some people, there's no such thing as privacy anymore. Everything is posted online. They post everything, everything. Right? You can tell, you know, the color of their bathrooms, the walls, by the photos that they post online. And this is problematic. So we're reminded, according to the Qur'an and according to the teachings, of what we should say, how we should speak, and at the same time, those things that we should avoid. What sort of behavior, what sort of speech should we avoid? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our mishaps, our sins, and the errors of our words and our actions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to say and do that which pleases Him, and to avoid saying and doing that which displeases Him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa ladina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف، وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا، ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا، أمنا بالله. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد.
14 years ago on September 11th, 2001, thousands of innocent people lost their lives in the tragic terrorist attacks that occurred here in the United States, in New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. And American Muslims, they joined the world in watching with horror the images of that fateful day. And they saw both the destruction of not only their nation, but also their religion. A day, September 11th, is a day in which not only America was attacked, but Islam was attacked also. This religion, the religion of peace, of compassion, of mercy, of tolerance towards others, was hijacked and used for these devastating purposes, unfortunately. And American Muslims condemned at the time, and they continue to condemn these sorts of atrocious behaviors. Yet, brothers and sisters, we have to be absolutely loud and clear when it comes to identifying the source of the terror, and that those agents or those who are behind this terror. Those who not only during that time they attacked the US and they attacked the religion of Islam, but continue to cause destruction and havoc in the world, in all parts of the world. And this is the ruthless and the destructive ideology of Wahhabism and violent Salafism, which has been and continues to be propagated, aided by many of the Arab countries, and at the head of them is Saudi Arabia. And this is not something that we should be quiet about, brothers and sisters. This is not something that we should beat around the bush, or we should be concerned because of economic or geopolitical interests or concerns. Just a few days ago, Thomas Friedman, a well-known journalist who writes for the New York Times, I'm sure you probably read the article or saw it, he spoke about this very issue. He talked about the danger that is Wahhabism, which is funded and hosted by Saudi Arabia and some of the other countries in the region. And he showed and he expressed how much destruction and chaos this ideology is causing in the world. The greatest threat today, brothers and sisters, without a shred of a doubt, the greatest threat to global peace and security, not just in the region, not just for the United States, not just for the West, but for the entire globe, is this destructive ideology of Wahhabism. This is undoubtedly the greatest threat that we face. More than any other threat. Now, don't get me wrong, there are other threats. In the Middle East, there are threats. In other parts of the world, there are certain regimes and certain organizations that are causing problems. But right now, there is no greater threat than this particular threat. Millions of lives, not just 3,000 on 9/11, but millions of lives have been destroyed as a result of this destructive ideology. And thus, brothers and sisters, this is something that we have to remind ourselves of, and that we have to remind our fellow Americans, our officials, and the entire world of. Because unfortunately, because of certain economic concerns or geopolitical concerns, much of the world, including the Western world, they've given a free pass to Saudi Arabia in order to allow it to propagate this sort of message. And this is problematic. Because if we want to destroy these entities, Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and Daesh and all others, if we want to be able to destroy them, we cannot just destroy them with weapons and with bombs. We have to be able to exterminate the root cause, and it is the ideology behind them, in which billions and billions of dollars in money and weapons and other types of support is behind this destructive ideology. And so we have to call upon officials, we have to call upon our government officials and others, and tell them that it's time for this to end. Regular Muslims all around the world are also paying the price. This destructive ideology, not only does it threaten various parts of the region, but first and foremost, it threatens Muslims. It threatens the Muslims themselves. It is destructive for Islam and for the Muslims. And thus, we see the consequences. We see the rise in Islamophobia until this very day. You know, I read a report that the following year, in 2002, the following year after 9/11, that according to various surveys, only 20% of Americans, they did what? They considered Islam to be tied to violence and terrorism. Today, 14 years later, at least 50% of Americans, they consider Islam to be tied to violence and to terrorism. These are the effects of this destructive ideology. To the point where even yesterday, just as recent as yesterday, in the city of Sterling Heights in Michigan, the city council voted unanimously 9-0 to ban the building of a mosque in that area. Of course, they made, you know, their reasoning was the minarets are too high, it's a residential neighborhood, it's going to cause congestion and traffic. But if you saw videos of those who were protesting outside and cheering after the city council vote, when the Muslims, they came out of the city council, if you saw the protests and you saw the way that people were chanting God bless America and no mosque, and the signs that they were holding, the very anti-Islamic signs and banners that they were holding, you would know that this is not about the height of a minaret or the fear of congestion. No, it's deeply rooted anti-Islamic sentiments and behaviors. And so if we want to overcome this, and if we want to make sure to ensure that peace and security and stability prevail, then we have to make sure that we do everything in our capacity to teach others, to identify the source of the problem, and also turn to our government officials and the officials of other nations and ask them to put pressure on these organizations so that they can exterminate the root of the problem. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this day we remember the victims of the tragedy on September 11th. We remember the victims of all of the wars, all of the destruction that occurred before and after that. We pray for those who are oppressed all around the world, brothers and sisters, the millions and millions of people who are oppressed, those whose lives have been destroyed in recent years. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them safety and peace and security. We pray for the safety and the security and the victory of peace over hate in this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings and to hasten the reappearance of our final Imam al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif wa ila arwah al-mu'minin wal-mu'minat nuhdi jami'an tawab surat al-Fatiha ma'as-salat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.